In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today, proclaiming the Word of God. It is the feast of St. James, the Apostle. And James was the first apostle that died as a martyr. We see Jesus calling James and John the sons of Zebedee. But today is the feast of James, who died a martyr for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we want to honor the people in South America who are celebrating this great feast day. Again, he's the first apostle to be martyred. If you'd like to read the chapter in the Acts of the Apostles, it's Acts 12. Acts 12. I'm reading from Luke 5. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake called Galilee, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, yes? Pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he spoke with authority. But not only do they want to hear the word of God, they were there to be touched so that they would be healed. Oh, yes. Wherever Jesus was, there were crowds that followed him. He saw two boats there by the shore of the lake, and the fishermen had gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon Peter, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore while he going to preach from the boat. Good acoustics. This is wonderful. Jesus, he preaches long, too. Jesus preaches long. One thing that we've read before, it took 3 days of preaching. Oh, yes, 3 days of preaching. So he preaches from the boat. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let your nets down for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but we have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." Well, he's kind of playing with Jesus. He knows he's not going to catch anything. He has been out there all night, and nothing has been caught. I tell you, the church can be that way. We work, we work, we work, and not very much happens. But I want to tell you why. We want to do on earth what Jesus is doing in heaven. Oh, yes. We want to do what Jesus wants us to do. Not what I want to do, but what Jesus wants us to do. Last night, Father Matt was with me, and we had Michael here, and Michael talked about his brother who had the greatest healing that's ever taken place in Holy Rosary. I've said it before, I'll say it again. They came on a Sunday evening. On Monday, he was scheduled for a big operation. The bone in his skull had been eaten away by an infection, and his brain was coming out of his ear. They asked me to pray, and I just prayed a simple little prayer. The next day when he went for the operation, the doctor said, "Is this a joke? The bone is back. We have the CAT scan that there's no bone. What happened?" Jesus caused a miracle. And the brain out of the ear was going back too. This is a miracle. It's a creative miracle because there was no bone. There was no bone, but you see, there was a bone now. God created a bone. The doctors thought that they were being fooled with, but they had both CAT scans, and they saw that in one CAT scan there was no bone, and the other there was a bone. "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing." I know that's the feeling of many people in the church. "Yet if you say so,
I will let down the nets. And Jesus says, you know, let down the nets if you say so. I don't believe you're going to collect anything. I don't believe you're going to fish out any fish. We've been out all night. We're fishermen. You're a carpenter. This is all happening in Peter's head. But I'll do it anyway, because you said so. At your word, I'll do it. And when they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. That's James and John. And they came and filled both boats, as that they both began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. I'm going to tell you why. In his head, he didn't think he was going to catch anything. And how does Jesus know how to fish? And you know, he realizes that he's got someone greater than a man here with him. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee. John is the one whose feast day is today, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, Jesus is the Lord. It's so wonderful that Peter can do nothing unless Jesus is with him. It's the same way in the church. We can do nothing unless Jesus is with us, and that we allow Jesus to tell us what to do. I told you about that miracle with that young man. I didn't do anything other than pray. That's all I did. God did the rest. I didn't even know that he needed this big operation. I knew he was going to be operated on. I didn't know that the bone was eaten away. But you see, Jesus did. Jesus did. Somebody wrote me a letter. He's got deaf in one ear and 10% deaf in the other ear. He thinks that I can heal him. I can't heal anybody. I can pray, but I cannot heal. That's the work of God. The prayer of faith does things, but I cannot hear deafness, but God can. God can. Let's continue. And when they brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. I want to tell you, we need people that are so gung-ho Jesus that they'd leave everything to follow Jesus. Maybe there's someone out there today who's thinking of a vocation and you don't know what to do. I remember saying something like this many years ago, and there was a young man who went in to the Capuchins and became a Capuchin priest of the difficult order of Franciscans. I'm telling you, God can do things if we would let him do things. God can do things. Peter could have said, you know, Lord, we've caught nothing, and you know what, there's nothing out there, but at your word I'll let down the nets. At your word, oh God, do we need to hear the word of God to do what we are supposed to do so that we can catch fish? No, so that we can catch men and women. Once when he was in one of the cities, there was a man covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he bowed with face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean. Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him, and said, I do choose. Be made clean. Immediately, the leprosy left. This is Jesus. He's not changed. He's the Lord. He's the Lord. This is Jesus. Use your faith. Faith is like a muscle. If you don't use it, you lose it. Use your faith. If you choose, you can heal me. I choose, Jesus said. Be healed of your leprosy. And the leprosy left him. And Jesus ordered him to tell no one. Go, he said, and show yourself to the priest as Moses commanded. Make an offering for your cleansing, for a testimony to them. But now, more than ever, the word about Jesus spread abroad. Many crowds would gather to hear him and to be cured of their diseases. But he would draw away to deserted places to pray. Oh yes, Jesus needs to pray. He needs to pray because he needs to do what the Father is doing. The scripture says Jesus only does what the Father is doing. So as we see these miracles, this is what the Father is doing. And it's Jesus who does what the Father is doing. The Father is healing leprosy, so Jesus can heal leprosy. He says, I only do what the Father does. I live by revelation, what the Father is doing. I wonder how we live. You know, we say, you know, we're just going to go do this. Did God call you to do this? That's the issue. And if God called you, you're going to collect fish. You're going to collect people. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But I'm going to tell you, the seed falls on different soils. And sometimes it's choked. Sometimes people rejoice. And then something bad happens to them. That seed dies. I'm going to tell you, it's not easy to continue with Jesus. Especially after the feelings go. And you know, it's wonderful to feel the presence of God. But what do you do when the presence of God is not felt by you? Do you continue in faith? That's the issue. That's the issue, is Jesus is in you. I've just been thinking, the times that Jesus saved my life. Once I was drowning, and he told me not to panic. It was his voice. And he saved my life. Another time I was in Peabody going to take a left-hand turn, and this car was driving like 60 miles an hour, and it barely almost hit me. Jesus saved my life. I've been thanking him for these things. And then I remember going to put my foot down from the curb, and a car was driving 60 miles an hour, and I just didn't put my foot down. God spared my life. This is God doing these things. I know it's God. It's not me. It's not me. So what do I give God? I can only give him my heart, my soul, my body, my spirit. I can only give him me. That's all I can give him. And if he wants to use me, I will be used by the grace of God. Chapter 5, verse 17. One day while he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting nearby. They had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal. The power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal. I'm telling you, Jesus did what the Father told him to do. The power of the Lord was with him to heal. Let's continue. The power of the Lord was with him to heal. Just then some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a bed. They were trying to bring this paralyzed man and lay him before Jesus. I tell you, these are the kind of friends that I want to have. Friends that bring me to Jesus. What kind of friends do you have? Do they bring you to Jesus? I remember a priest, a Jesuit priest, and one of the seminarians said, you know, tell us about friendship. And the priest said, if your friend draws you to Jesus, keep him. If your friend doesn't draw you to Jesus, let him go. Dump him. Well, they said, you know, that's the answer. If your friends draw you to Jesus, keep them. If they draw you apart from Jesus, dump them. You don't need them. These four friends brought this paralyzed man to Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in the house because of the crowd, listen what they do. They went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. These men go the extra mile. They climb to the top of the roof and they let this sick man down in front of Jesus. When they saw their faith, or when he saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven you." What faith did Jesus see? The faith of the four friends. This man had no faith. He had been sick for years. When he saw their faith, the faith of the four men, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven you." Then the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, "Who is this who is speaking blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" When Jesus perceived their questionings, he answered them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is it easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or say, 'Stand up and walk'? But so that you may know," not think, "know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the one who was paralyzed, "I say to you, stand up, take up your bed, and go home." Oh yes, Jesus had the power to forgive sins. And he showed them that by raising the man up. "Go to your home." Immediately he stood up before them and took what he had been lying on and went to his home, glorifying God. Amazement seized all of them, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen strange things today." I'm telling you, this miracle is going to bring many more people to Jesus. This miracle is going to bring many more people to Jesus. This is real. Everybody needed a touch from Jesus. Oh yes, the leper needed a touch from Jesus. The paralyzed man needs a touch from Jesus. You know what? You need a touch from Jesus. You know what? I need a touch from Jesus. And he touches us in faith. After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. This is Matthew. And he said to him, "Follow me." Listen to this. He got up, left everything, and followed Jesus. I'm going to tell you, Jesus must have had a charismatic look in his eyes. "Follow me." And this guy leaves everything at the tax booth to follow Jesus. Are you following Jesus today? Who are you following? You know, we're either following Jesus or we're not. Even if we're bedridden, we have to follow Jesus. We have to give him our life. We have to say, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." Then Levi gave a great banquet. This is wonderful. A great banquet for Jesus in his house. And there was large crowds of tax collectors and others sitting at the table with them. All these sinners with Jesus in the middle. What do you think he's going to do? He's going to teach. He's going to preach. He's going to talk to them about how God loves them and that he wants to save them. Oh yes, this is marvelous. It was Matthew's doing. Matthew was changed by Jesus, so he invites all his sinner friends. Oh yes, all his sinner friends were there. I tell you, sometimes it's easier to get a person converted when they know nothing about the church and nothing about Jesus. Sometimes it's easier to get them converted as somebody shares their faith. That's why it's so important to testify to the faith that the Lord has given us. These are the things that we need to do. We need to testify to the things that the Lord is doing in us. It's so important because it means souls. How many souls will be saved by my testimony? There's great and awesome testimony that brings people to the feet of Jesus. How we need to be brought to the feet of Jesus. And I continue. Go, he said, and show yourself to the priest. And Moses, that Moses commanded, make an offering of your cleansing for a testimony to them. But now more than ever, Jesus would go about and spread abroad. Many crowds would be healed of their diseases, but he would go to deserted places and prayed. So Matthew has all these sinners at the table. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Oh yes, you see, the Pharisees and Sadducees thought that they were righteous. They wore the right clothes. They were in the right parties. They had the right friends. But you see, Jesus goes after the sinners at Matthew's house. At Matthew's house. Why? Because he has come to seek and save that which is lost. Are you lost today? Jesus comes to save you. How does he do it? You just say, Jesus, save me. I surrender my life to you. Forgive me. I surrender my life to you. Be Lord. Be my God. Let me know your power. So we continue. Then they said to Jesus, John's disciples, like the disciples of the Pharisees, frequently fast and pray. See, they're trying to trip Jesus up. But your disciples eat and drink. Jesus said to them, you cannot make a wedding guest fast while the bridegroom is with them, can you? The days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. I tell you, Jesus is the bridegroom. And the day will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, the ascension. And that's the time when they are called to fast. He also told them a parable. No one tears a piece from a new garment and sews it on an old garment. Why? Otherwise the new will be torn and the piece from the new will not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Why? Otherwise the new wine will burst the skins and will be spilled, and the skins will be destroyed. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. I tell you, you're not going to be able to put grace into the wineskins of the law. We need the mercy of God. Grace needs to be poured into the wineskins of the mercy of God. And no one after drinking old wine desires new wine, but he says the old is good. Our Lord Jesus Christ is wonderful. He heals the sick. He teaches the people. He meets us where we're at. You know, that's a great thing about Jesus. He meets us where we're at. But can I tell you a secret? He doesn't keep us there. He brings us forward. That's what he does. He brings us forward. Do you know that today? He loves us the way we are. That's his way. But he doesn't keep us where we are. He puts us in himself so that we can witness and we can follow him. You see, I'm not the same as when Jesus saved me in 1968. I'm not the same. Thank God. You can't be the same. Why? Because you've got to grow. If you don't grow, you wither away. I know growth is painful. I know growth is painful. Yes, it is painful. Especially when you're called to do God's work and you feel nothing. But you know what? I'm going to do God's work whether I feel or don't feel. It's not about feeling. It's about knowing. Knowing who? Knowing Jesus Christ, the Lord. Knowing Him and loving Him. Because He is the one who saves His people from their sins. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.